You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Sharks, your premier San Jose Sharks podcast, 5 days a week in your ear holes. Getting better. I gotta cut out the double Sharks though. It's too redundant, but I'm getting there. I'm workshopping it. By the time I have until October 12th, first game of the season, to really get this nailed down. I gotta keep doing it. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me as always is JD, the Diet Coke to my Diet Pepsi. What was that thing that guy said? Is that what he said?
Yeah, there was that, and then we also got called boners on the Athletic article too.
Well, no, not
noted boners,
not in the article.
Oh, the comment section. Yes,
yeah, comment section. Noted.
Noted boners.
It's good times had by all. We today are going to do setting expectations. So we originally planned to cover day one of camp, but day one of camp turned out to be picture day.
Great,
and that's it. So. Cool. So what we're gonna
what
do
was is, your favorite picture?
Eric Karlsson on one knee being really look. Imagine thinking he was the problem in the locker room.
Womp womp.
And not the guy who's not invited to training camp. We will say that as of this recording right now, 5 minutes before, the Sharks released a statement, and due to Evander Kane's sexual assault and domestic violence allegations by his ex-wife or soon to be ex-wife. He will not be participating in training camp. So he was on the roster, not participating in training camp. Don't care. See you later. If he comes back after training camp, we'll see. But they're not commenting on the situation. So when the news happens, the news happens. My next favorite picture is William Eklund because he looks like a tiny child. His helmet's too big for his head.
He's adorable. It's great. I love him already. I did like LeBanc wearing the wrong helmet. And Hurdle can do no wrong anyway.
Yeah, for sure. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna set expectations for the season instead. We'll be back tomorrow covering day one of camp, hopefully, as long as we have news. Otherwise we'll be back something else. But today we're going to set expectations for the season and what we can realistically expect. Maybe some good outcomes, some bad outcomes. I would like to set the expectation for this podcast that I'm aggressively hungover while we're recording it. Shout out to my friend Jenny. She got her PR, and then many drinks were poured into my body via payment of the bartenders. But yeah, shout out to her.
Nice.
So I wonder if she remembers that I said I was going to do that, because I barely did until just now. So anyway, being, you know, like, what's it called when you get like jumped into like a fraternity or a sorority?
No idea. Oh, rushing?
Rush or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what it's like when you start like seeing an Australian girl and then meeting all their friends. It's the exact same thing. You have no idea what's going on and you wake up like hungover and hurt.
Except your body is not 20, you know, years old again. So
yeah, no,
the bounce back is
the bounce back is lower
threshold. Brutal.
It's the same amount of abuse that you put on your body. So anyway.
Yes.
Okay. Setting expectations. I think the first place to start is that. Yes, in any given season, anything can happen because it's hockey. Great. Thank you.
The San Jose Sharks will be winning the 2022 Stanley Cup.
Podcast over. No.
Yes.
I don't think that's a reasonable expectation. And we're trying to set.
So 82-0, 16-0 in the playoffs.
My favorite tweet every year is tweeting when they win the first game, 82-0.
Yes. Last year, I think the first episode after because they won game one, it was like the quest for 112 points lives or something like that.
64 points. Yeah. We have to do that again. So I think setting reasonable expectations is important, especially because the Sharks improved in a lot of areas. 3C. Yes. Fourth line, goaltending, another year of Bob's system, I think, will probably be good because it should be fleshed out by this point. So
a real training camp. Yeah.
A real training camp. Yeah. So obviously they're not still the most skilled team, but I think they're stuck at a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Pacific is very bad.
Yes.
And because James Reimer is definitely cromulent, and Aiden Hill seems also cromulent. I have a feeling they might be in the creamy middle. And I think a reasonable, what do you think, JD, is the most reasonable expected outcome?
I think the most,
what's the top of this?
You want like the best case scenario or like what's
the
most likely?
The best reasonable scenario.
The best reasonable scenario is I think they're the third best team in the Pacific. So you would have Vegas, who's the clear cut number one. And then Edmonton's probably number two.
They got really bad, but like Edmonton or Calgary or LA.
Yeah, pick whoever you like. I'm going to go with Edmonton just because they have Connor McDavid, and he's hashtag good at hockey.
Salient choice.
He's a cromulent hockey player. but I think you can see the path, right? If the goaltending is, instead of being, if we're hoping average, if the goaltending's above average, so maybe like a top 10 goaltending tandem, if some of the guys have bounce back years, like if Timo goes back to scoring, you know, 30, 40 goals a season, if Dahlin lights the league on fire, you know, as in his rookie campaign, you know, if Erik Karlsson returns to a
first pair form.
Yeah, first pair form. You know, he doesn't have to be a Norris winning guy, but if he, you know, like you can see if, you know, a lot of stuff has to go right, but you can see the path for these guys to be, you know, the third best team in the Pacific, especially in a very weak division.
Yeah. And I think I'm in a similar situation where I think reasonably I was going to say a wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at the Central, they've got Colorado, obviously. St. Louis is still always kicking around. Dallas had a down year, but who knows? They could be back. They still have some young pieces. Kind of an in-between team. Minnesota, I think, is going to be ass. Who else is in that division? Nashville?
Nashville's going to be bad.
Ass.
Yeah.
Arizona. Super ass.
Arizona's the worst.
One of the worst teams I've ever seen in my entire life. So Winnipeg. Winnipeg probably playoff team on the back of Hellebuck, but I don't think there's super... super like extraordinary like that. So you can see if Nick Bonino plays 14, 15 minutes a night as the 3C, plays on the penalty kill, brings a stabilizing present, you can maybe take some minutes off of Couture and Hurdle in defensive roles and let them open up on offense and the goalies play well. I don't think it's out of the question that they sneak into the playoffs. And now I don't want to aggregate us. Yes. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they will. But I think if everything kind of clicks and they don't even need massive regression to the mean, like Karlsson and Meyer and LeBanc, if they just come back a little bit, I think that's going to be very helpful. As long as that expected goals turns into real goals, because I think there are 6 in expected goals and 26 in real goals.
Yeah.
Something like that.
There's a big disparity between the two.
Yeah, if they go from like the mid-20s to the teens in real goals, I think that might be enough in the Pacific to put them over the edge. Hey guys, everybody remembers that 1992 Sir Mix-a-Lot classic Baby Got Back. And guess who else is back? Bet Online, and they've got your back because football season is back. Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100, that's NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline. The fastest and easy way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet Online, your online sportsbooks experts.
Does this sound familiar to you? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices required. Content varies by package.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's like, I don't think they're going to be some juggernaut team. I think they're going to have to kind of play a lot of tight games and, you know, kind of do the little things right, coach speak, et cetera, et cetera. But you can see where, you know, it's a lot of veteran guys can who are, as you said, they're Cromulent hockey players and they know what they're doing out there. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be the tire fire that we saw at the end of the season last year.
I think it might be.
There's a chance. That's the worst case scenario. We'll get there.
Is it the worst case scenario? Okay. Would you be happy with them sneaking into the playoffs?
The fan part of me would, because watching like playoff hockey and rooting for it, especially after the past 2 years, it's fun when your team is like in the mix. This team isn't going anywhere.
When the Sharks were perennial cup contenders, wasn't that fun?
That was fun. Yes.
Regular season just didn't matter. Who gave a shit about the regular season? We'll see in the playoffs.
Yeah. Hockey didn't really matter until April.
Remember game 7 against Vegas?
Yes.
Remember the Timo Meier hand pass?
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Oh, good. So many
things. So much fun. Yes. That would be fun to enjoy that type of hockey again. But it's one of those things where if you're making the playoffs, like what's your real, they're probably going to be arguably the worst team in the playoffs.
If they sneak into the final playoff spot, like the final wild card, they get Colorado or Vegas.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
I mean, but we saw Montreal last year go on a run, and not saying that Aiden Hill is going to be Carey Price or anything like that. But playoff hockey is crazy, and you know that would be fun. But what's probably best for the organization is to be bad again and acquire another very high draft pick in a very loaded draft class.
Yeah, I think if they're going to hit their ceiling, they have to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
If they're going to finish, how many teams are in this goddamn league now? 32?
Yeah.
If they're not going to sneak in as the 16th team and play playoff hockey, they can't be the 17th or 18th or 19th team. Those teams, there's like a 1.1% chance or whatever. Yeah, great. That's 1.1% chance. But if they gave you a bag of Skittles, 1,000 Skittles, and said one of them will kill you, would you eat the Skittle? No, of course not. You wouldn't take that chance. So, like, I don't know. Does that even make sense? Does that analogy even make sense?
Sure. I think we know what you're trying to say. But
what I'm trying to say is that not making the playoffs is like eating death Skittles. No, I just think if you're going to make the playoffs, you have to make the playoffs. Otherwise, being stuck in that treadmill, that creamy middle, I think that finishing 17th compared to 16th is almost the same thing. You still have a chance at the lottery, but like at least that you get the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and that's, whatever. Yeah, that's fun as a fan. And, you know,
I don't think that they should try to go down this path. It seems like they're trying to,
yeah.
But I don't. What is the worst case scenario? We'll go there.
So the worst case scenario, worst/best,
depending on how you feel.
Yeah. How you feel is, the team is just bad again. So the
we're talking straight horrendous.
Straight like horrendous, one of the 5 worst teams. And I guess the path for that would be
what they did last year.
No, a major injury to like Hertl/Couture, where you lose them for a huge chunk of the season, especially because there's not the depth back there. Aiden Hill isn't the guy that the Sharks traded for. James Reimer just falls off a cliff. Erik Karlsson continues to, you know, get worse, or he gets hurt type of thing. So you can see, you know, the young guys like Dahlin or, you know, Sasha or, you know, Barabanov, they take a step back or they're not ready to contribute. So
they don't take any steps at all.
They don't take any steps. Yeah.
Remember 2 years ago, not last season, but the season before, when like Leon Bergman and Daniil Yurtaken.
Yeah. When they were like, the opening day.
Yes. Yeah. Where Doug Wilson said, we have internal resources or whatever, and they didn't do anything. I think that's the scenario that really shoots the Sharks, because that means like Jasper's not a very good 4C. Gambrell didn't make any improvements. Barabanov's not the 9-game wonder. Balsers is just a guy, which he might be, but Dahlin doesn't transition to the NHL at all.
Yeah.
So I think that's one way to go. I think they're also... I think they might just be teetering on that edge regardless of injury or these guys not doing it, because if Carlson's just not that great anymore and Vlasic is completely washed and Couture is just half a season guy now and Hurdle's knees aren't great, I just don't know if they have the pieces. Like,
yeah,
somebody. And if Burns is already, and if Burns is starting to go down a little bit, because like he was good last year, but he wasn't like an incredible Norris guy anymore. I think the makings are there for them to just bottom out without having to have like have Hurdle's knees explode. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can see that. I think the depth from like your second, third, and kind of fourth line guys, some of the veterans they brought in, like your Cogliano and your Benito, I think they'll keep them, they'll kind of drag them from being just...
But they won't. Andrew Cogliano's never dragged anything anywhere. Like,
I just the guy. Again, they're cromulent. They're...
But they're not. That's so, the thing. Nick Merkley literally couldn't make the Devils.
Yeah.
So, like, great. They brought these guys in, and if one of them hits, they hit. It's like, Nick Benino, we're assuming, will still be good at 34 years old, but if he's not, but like, Nick Bonino and Andrew Cogliano and Nick Merkley and Joseph Weatherby and Lane Patterson, they don't move the needle. They shore up what you have, but
yeah,
they don't like, you gotta have these guys to win. But if you don't have the winning guys, like if you don't have your, we'll use Tampa, if you don't have your Braden Points and your Stamkos and your Kucherovs already in place, then having a Barkley Goodrow and a Ross Colton and a Corey Perry and stuff doesn't matter. So they brought in Bonino and a Cogliano and stuff, but they won't matter if Couture, yeah, guys and Meyer, yeah, and Burns and stuff just don't do anything. And I think there's a real, very real scenario where they just don't do anything. And they've really got to fix the, what did they say? The bones of the team?
Yeah, the bones of the core. This team has good,
good bones. What are we, house bones. Hunters now?
Yeah, we're house hunters.
Watch a lot of HGTV. Yeah. I think the worst case scenario is also the best case scenario for a franchise standpoint.
Yes. Because then if you get... If Wright, you get like a top
or Savoy or Slavkovsky or
Cooley, and you throw him with Eklund, yeah,
and then yeah, you got him to Eklund or Robbins and a Bortolo and some of these guys that we think are going to hit, Knyazev, then you're cooking with gas, especially if this season hits the skid hard and they have to like trade Hurdle at the deadline and then they have to get rid of Burns somehow and stuff like that, and then they're going to be bad in 2023 too. Then you're looking at Bedard and Michkov and some of these other guys where you can really kickstart it. So I think the worst case scenario is secretly the best case scenario, especially if the team is just going to be the Minnesota Wild, slip into the playoffs, get curb stomped.
Yeah, in the first round.
Yeah, and then you do that for 10 straight years. Yep. The Indiana Pacers of the hockey, nobody wants that. So I think the worst case scenario is also the best case scenario. It's just very hard to swallow from a fan perspective. Especially if you're a more casual fan. There's nothing wrong with being a casual fan at all. We're obviously nerds that know who Yuri Slavkovsky is.
Yeah,
it's fine. But if you're a casual fan, it's hard to be like, oh, I'm gonna tune into the 20-39 San Jose Sharks. You know what I mean? Like, how many people watch Pittsburgh Pirate games after the opening month? Like, none. So, are the Pirates still bad? Yeah, the Pirates are awful.
The Pirates are awful.
Yeah, Pirates are always awful. Death taxes the Pirates just being absolute shit. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers and makes and models of cars, because let's face it, there's a million different types of cars. I saw an Alfa Romeo driving down the street the other day. I don't even know what an Alfa Romeo is. A Peugeot, remember when those were popular? Minis? Then there's a Clubman or something like that. These are just cars I thought of off the top of my head that I will never buy. I have a Honda. I am getting a BMW next. These are just a million different types of cars. So it's impossible for your local chain store to have all the parts you need, because then you gotta go in, you gotta wander up and down the aisles of like Princess Auto, you gotta search for it, be like, I can't find it. Then you have to go to the guy at the counter who doesn't want to be there because he's probably a high school student. He's got to type into his computer, click clack click clack, and figure out the part, then order it for you. Why have somebody do all that when you have a computer at home with access to rockauto.com, or just do it on your phone in the parking lot of that auto parts store? You save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, so go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts need. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. What do you think? Obviously, we're not going to do a medium scenario. That's silly.
I think the most outlier, most
likely,
yes, scenario is they're on the mediocre, creamy middle treadmill of doom. So where really? They miss the playoffs.
Just barely
miss the playoffs. So they're not good enough to make the playoffs, but they're not bad enough where they're like at the deadline where they're like, we should just sell off our pieces and try to, they're like, we're still in the mix. So which I think is the worst case scenario is the most likely scenario, to be honest. So I think Doug Wilson's going to talk himself into the like, yeah, we can still make the playoffs, but then they end up missing the playoffs. They don't get anything for Hurdle or, you know, or Burns or whomever. And then they're picking like 14th in the draft.
Yeah, I think the real worst case scenario is what you just laid out there, where they are close enough that the false playoff hope is there.
Yep. They talk themselves into it. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the true worst case scenario. No, scenario.
Yeah.
We did set expectations and it was hungover. I think the most likely scenario for me is that they hit that like 10th, 10, 9, similar to where they were last year with the seventh pick. I think that for me is the most likely scenario where they've shored up some spots, but I don't think they're strong enough still at the top end. You know what I mean? To really make a dent. Especially now that they got to go play Pittsburgh twice. I guess it's a trade-off, right? They don't play Colorado 6 million times anymore, or Vegas. They play Pittsburgh twice instead, or the Islanders twice instead. But I think for me, my most likely scenario is that they get like marginally better because Bonino shores up 3C.
Yeah.
You have a couple of the young guys do okay. Aiden Hill and Reimer are fine in net, and which is a massive improvement from before. And they kind of go from that seventh worst team where we were like, oh, if they lose these two and Columbus wins a couple of games and they can slide into five, we're doing the tankathon watch.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be just outside that, where it's going to be like they're around the 10 mark and it's like, ooh, they need a couple more games and they can slide into nine. Maybe they'll be 11. So they're not quite at the bottom. They're in that like top 10 range. But not super bottoming out, because I think Buffalo and Arizona are going to be horrendous.
Yes.
Which really puts a damper on trying to get in the top picks. But yeah, I think my most likely scenario is around that 10 mark, which is just be full depressing or not.
Not choosing is just the most depressing. So
yeah, I hope, exactly. Nobody likes a fence sitter.
Yeah.
Nobody likes a single issue voter. Speaking of single issue voter, can we get the throwback jerseys not black again? Anyway, we'll save that for another day. I think that in my most likely scenario, Hurdle leaves because they're going to have to be out of the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think if you're the 10th worst team, you're probably going to be out of the playoffs. My only worry is that the Pacific is so bad that it artificially boosts you. But it's going to be one of those scenarios where the Sharks are eliminated from the wild card, but they can still make the playoffs.
You have like 70 points and you're getting in the third spot.
Exactly.
Yeah, Vegas has got like 120 points. And yeah, like
if you had to put a percentage on them finishing top two in the division, what would it be?
Top two.
Yeah.
2%.
Two? I was going to say one.
Yeah, like if McDavid blows out his knee or something like that.
Don't put that in the world.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. You know, if that happens and then, or like we see with Vegas where they just kind of do like, because they're on the track to basically be the Sharks where they've got a bunch of aging guys and then all of a sudden they're just going to go from being really good to not being really good at, you know, the flip of a switch. I think they still got a couple of years, but it's coming. And then like Calgary, they're just not able to kind of come together. Like, yeah. And everything right happens for the Sharks, but that's a lot of ifs. So
a lot of ifs. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
What do you think? Do you think there's a more likely chance they finish top two in the division or last in the division?
More likely they finish last. So
them and Anaheim fighting it out.
Yeah, because like if Anaheim, you know, if Zegras just comes in and lights the world on fire, I know he's hurt right now.
And Drysdale.
And Drysdale, they just come out, you know, and light the world on fire. And, you know, they could almost be like how Ottawa was last year, where they were frisky at the end of the season and won some games. They kind of knocked themselves out of the bottom of the draft. But that we think the Kings are going to be good. They're going to be on their way. And Seattle, who knows, is Seattle. Yeah. But so.
I think I personally think the Kings are going to finish second, but I'm hoping that we get the Kings, the Oilers, and the Flames all kind of elevating themselves a little bit above the Ducks, Sharks, Kraken, Canucks.
I always forget about the Canucks now.
Yeah, how do you forget about the Canucks? Have you seen their defense? It's Quinn Hughes and Travis Hamonic paired, and then Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Tyler Myers, and then somebody, I think Jack Rathbone, he's gonna be good, but he's a rookie, and Tucker Poolman. Get excited for Tucker Poolman, baby. His defense is so bad. Poor Thatcher Demko. But anyway, I think if the Calgary, Edmonton, LA trifecta can raise themselves up against the holy quadrant of garbage. Just a little bit, because if they play six times and Edmonton beats San Jose four times out of two, that's good. That's what we need. Can't be splitting. San Jose can't just randomly beat LA four times this season. Like, no, that's not going to work.
Can we get Martin Jones back for? Actually, no. Martin Jones is really good against the Kings for some reason.
It's his former team. Revenge games.
Revenge.
Do you think Martin Jones starts against the Sharks in either game that they play against Flyers?
Yeah,
for sure. Right.
Yeah.
Do you think Philly puts? I bet you Philly doesn't start him in San Jose. I bet you they start him in Philly. They wouldn't do that to him in San Jose.
No, he can get booed in Philly.
Well, no, but at least he's at home. He's
yeah.
Back in the Shark Tank. But yeah.
How many do you think the Sharks score on Philly against Martin Jones? You've practiced against that for the past bajillion years. How many do you think they put up on him? Six.
Six. It's all going to be, guys, it's going to be like Jasper Weatherby hat trick.
I love it.
Radim Šimek goal. Mark Edward
Vlasic.
It's going to be disgusting, dude. It's not going to be.
There's just no.
Timo Meier's going to have 12 shots and zero goals.
No, it's going to be all the defensemen scoring just as revenge.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's our favorite setting expectation for the season is how many goals to play. But. I think those are three realistic scenarios to talk through just so people can kind of get primed as we head into training camp. We are going to be covering all of camp as much as we can. It's not open to the public, but there's media sources in there. So your Shangs, your Kurtzes, your Pichelkas, I guess those are the only three. I don't know who else is allowed in there. People from like other random news outlets. San Francisco Chronicle, I think, gets a person. So is that what it's called? San Francisco Chronicle?
I think so.
Okay. Well, we'll go with that. So yeah, I think we'll be covering training camp as much as we can. Obviously, with all the news, pairings, lines, we're going to talk about that. There's a listen to yesterday's episode. This week we did stock up, stock down, where we talked about guys that coming in hot or coming in cold, and then we did position battles where we highlighted four of the key position battles on the Sharks and ones that are to watch, and it makes training camp a little bit more fun. And the preseason will be up in about a week.
Sunday night.
Sunday's the first preseason game?
Split squad.
Against who?
Vegas and Anaheim, I think. Split squad action.
Oh, okay. So we'll make sure that we highlight the split squad action, talk about the teams, how they split them up. It'll be interesting to cover all of that going forward. So stick with us.
And thank you. Your
Premier Sharks podcast. Oh, yeah. And thanks for listening. Please come back.
We appreciate your support.
If you would like to tweet at us... No, get out of here, JD. If you'd like to tweet at us, ask us anything, talk to us, you can do that at Locked On Sharks on the Bird. If you'd like to email us with electronic mail, you can do that at lockedonsharks@gmail.com. You can find us everywhere that Spotify can be found. Yes, that's true, because we're on Spotify. Spotify, Apple podcast things. So don't hesitate. If you can't find us, let us know and we'll direct you where to find us. JD's putting up all our episodes on Instagram and Facebook at Locked On Sharks for both. If you want to message us there, people have been leaving us 5-star reviews. Good. We see them. We laugh. Make them about our brand. They're even funnier. Yes. We have a brand. It's very stupid. You're going to see a new Twitter banner tomorrow or today when you're listening to this. It's very stupid, but this is what we're here for. Bringing brevity and laughter to this hell season that might be upon us. JD, the man who's going to make this banner at my fry hole.
Kyle, the man who came up with the idea of this banner at Kyle Demetrius.
We're really hyping the banner here.
The banner's, yeah.
It's not.
It's dumb.
It's not good. But anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Bye.
Beer from the beer store.
Betting on sports doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.